You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Over here today on Thursday, we have Thursday night football this evening, but really this is an episode where, you know, there isn't a lot of good news, unfortunately, for the Broncos in this one. I'll tell you about that here in just a second, but today's episode of the show is brought to you by Action Heat Clothing. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the National Football League and the Denver Broncos. You can shoot me a follow on Twitter, at Cody Rourke NFL. Now, I'm not going to waste too much time on this. Unfortunately, you know, the Broncos have been hit mightily with the injury bug this year, and that's been a very unfortunate thing for them. And the latest injury is Emmanuel Sanders. Emmanuel Sanders out for the rest of the season with a torn Achilles that he suffered in practice, a non-contact injury, I'm told, was going through routes on air, and, you know, planted his foot and all of a sudden, you know, made the motion, fell to the ground, made the motion, grabbed his ankle, tossed his helmet to the side in frustration. And the Broncos training staff knew pretty quick that it was probably a torn Achilles. MRI later on confirmed that move. So we're going to talk about that here in segment one of today's show. Segments two and three are going to be our week 14 NFL picks from Cameron and myself. But I think it's important that we do take some time here to really talk about what the impact of Emmanuel Sanders' injury is going to be with him being out. Now, the Broncos this year had already traded Demaryius Thomas away to the Houston Texans. They had a lot of reliance on Emmanuel Sanders being that primary wide receiver. Cortland Sutton stepping up essentially to be that number two wide receiver for the Broncos, and Deshaun Hamilton coming into number three. Well, with the injury to Emmanuel Sanders, Cortland Sutton moves into that number one wide receiver spot. Deshaun Hamilton probably up there at two. Not sure what the Broncos rotation necessarily is going to be yet. You have River Craycraft. You have, you know, a multitude of options. Tim Patrick. I think these two guys are going to be the first candidates to get reps on the field. The Broncos, however, did bring in Andre Holmes, a former wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders. And Bill Musgrave has some familiarity with him. He mentioned him in his press conference earlier on Wednesday afternoon following Emmanuel Sanders thing, and then by 2 o'clock Mountain Time, Andre Holmes, a waiver was put in on him. He's just released by the Buffalo Bills. Broncos put the waiver claim in on him, got him, and now he's a Denver Bronco. He comes in at 6'4", 210 pounds, and the Broncos have some height and they have some tallness in that wide receiving core here. But really, the impact of Emmanuel Sanders, his injury is going to be very difficult for the Broncos because teams would bracket, teams would double team wherever Emmanuel Sanders was. They'd always have safety help over the top. Now you're going to rely on some of your young guys like Cortland Sutton. You could see safeties maybe start to bracket over the top of him. And this is where guys like Deshaun Hamilton and Tim Patrick can emerge and come in and make plays for the Broncos. But yeah, definitely, obviously, a big blow to the Broncos. They've just lost a lot of guys this year due to injury. Chris Harris Jr. Last week, Derek Wolfe with a rib injury. You know, just some guys going down. And offensively, all around the entire year, Matt Paradis, you know, Max Garcia, these guys have all gone out, and that's just been a huge blow for the Broncos offensively, they losing some of these key starters. So definitely a big news around Broncos country regarding this scenario. Our obviously thoughts and prayers go out to Emmanuel Sanders, but he posted a very promising message on Twitter that he will bounce back. He said he's been dealing with doubters his whole life. This is only fuel to the fire for him. He's going to come back 10 times stronger, and I absolutely believe it. I think Emmanuel Sanders has had a phenomenal year this year in the National Football League, and he's been very pivotal. So, you know, this gives an avenue for some of the critics around the sports media world that, you know, the Broncos have been on a roll. Now with this injury, you're going to have a lot of them backtracking on that, and I think the Broncos players aren't falling into that trap. They're very focused. We had Will Parks of the Broncos here on the Locked Keeping It Will on Locked On Broncos segment on Tuesday's episode. You know, these guys are focused. They're locked in. And Vance Joseph, you know, despite losing a big guy like Emmanuel Sanders, you had Vance Joseph say, you know, it's the next man up. We have to keep moving forward. We can't dwell on it because there's nothing we can do at this point. The Broncos, they don't have time to dwell. They got a big game on the road in San Francisco this weekend, and we're going to have you covered over here at Locked On Broncos with the post-game report. So obviously, very, very bummed out news right there. I'm bummed out. I know a lot of fans across the National Football League, the Broncos country, are very bummed out regarding the Emmanuel Sanders news. But, you know, the Broncos have some young guys. This is a chance for us to see what Deshaun Hamilton can do. What can Cortland Sutton do even further? Can he evolve? Can Tim Patrick step up into that role? And what can Andre Holmes do? The Broncos do have some wide receiver guys, River Craycraft. Who's going to step up? That's going to be the key that we're going to look for this Sunday as the Broncos are on the road to take on the San Francisco 49ers. Coming up in our next segment, we're going to dive into our NFL picks week 14. But before we get into that, I got to tell you guys about the sponsor of tonight's show. And that's our good friends over there at Action Heat Clothing. Action Heat Clothing, they have the best battery heated clothing on the market. With the touch of a button, you can receive heat on demand, just like you can receive Locked On Broncos on demand. Action Heat Clothing is safely engineered to deliver heat through heating panels, which are similar to those that you find in heated car seats. They are powered by a rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion battery that can last you up to 12 hours. So if you're out there working in the cold all day, I highly recommend getting Action Heat Clothing. Mine came in. I've been staying warm in this 15-degree weather down here in Colorado. It's been nice. And if you're looking for a gift for the holidays for any family or friends of yours, keep them warm with Action Heat Clothing. You can even purchase heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like long johns. Those are my personal favorites in this cold weather. I get to stay warm all day long with Action Heat Clothing, and they're available in both men and women's styles. We have a very special offer for listeners of Locked On Broncos where you can save 20% off of your order today by going to actionheat.com/lockedon. And when you find something that you like at checkout, use coupon code Locked On to save 20% off your order today. Action Heat Clothing, they're going to keep you warm, and we'd like to thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Broncos podcast. The NFL week never stops, and we never stop over here at Locked On Broncos. We are now in our NFL picks segment of today's episode of the show. So, Cameron, let's not waste any time. We're first matchup Thursday Night Football tonight. We have the Jaguars on the road taking on the Tennessee Titans, and this Titans team shows a lot of glimpses of special, and then they also have these displays where they don't necessarily display consistency through in and throughout, but they're playing the Jaguars team that is absolutely struggling right now. They got a big win this past week against the Indianapolis Colts, 6-0 in a snooze fest. This is a big game, obviously a divisional matchup. We got the Jaguars at the Titans on the road. I look at this matchup, I look at the way the Jaguars have been playing. I think the Titans play consistent enough to where they're at home in this matchup. They have all the momentum. It's a short turnaround week for them. They're hungry coming off that loss, you know, a couple weeks ago to the Houston Texans. I think in this matchup, I've got the Titans.
It's incredible to me when you think of the Jacksonville Jaguars and just Tennessee, and to think of just how it truly is for Jacksonville, maybe one of, if not the biggest disappointments of the entire season. You know, I mean, they were AFC favorites for the most part. I mean, by some pundits, they were AFC favorites. And now, you know, Blake Bortles has been way too inconsistent. Now you get Cody Kessler as starting quarterback. It's just, it's starting to be a revolving door with Jacksonville as far as drama on the field. And so I'm 100% with you. And so this could end up being a little bit of a boring Thursday night game yet again. But ultimately, the Titans are a better AFC South team, and you got to go Titans.
And then our next matchup, we have another divisional matchup in the AFC East, the Jets on the road taking on the Bills. And I don't know. This is a tough one. I had the Bills beating the Dolphins last week, and Ryan Tannehill shook off all that rust, and he made, he had a phenomenal game in terms of coming back from that injury against them, and the Bills, they lost. But I think the Bills are still, you know, they're at that point where they're still getting things going. Josh Allen's getting things going. They're finding a little bit more consistency. It helps to have Shady McCoy back for them. This is going to be a tough one. I have struggled in my NFL picks this year. I have been about at 500 all year. The Jets are so Jekyll and Hyde. You're just unsure of what to expect from them. I'm going to take the Jets on this one on the road. They're taking the win in the divisional matchup here between the Bills. They're going to sneak one on the road.
Not to mention they're going to be without Kelvin Benjamin and Andre Holmes. I mean, they made a shocking decision today in, or on Tuesday and released Kelvin Benjamin. And so that was kind of the surprising news of the week before the game on Sunday. So I think ultimately, if you look at it, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, the Jets are going to get Sam Darnold back this week. And I think as far as quarterback play, you're going to get two rookie quarterbacks going at it. You and I both know how we feel about Sam Darnold. It's certainly great to see Josh Allen play really well last week. But unfortunately, I think Jets, better defense all around. And I think that they are, despite what their record says, 3-9, I think they're a much better football team, really, than that Buffalo Bills team.
Yeah, I think they are definitely a better team. That division we thought was going to be one of the toughest at the beginning of the year. Unfortunately, you know, it's still the Patriots. And the Dolphins are pretty darn good in their regard as well. They had a really good start to the year. Outside of that, these two teams just haven't been able to compete or showcase it. Then our next matchup is the Giants on the road at the Redskins. This is a tough one. The Giants have gone away from what has worked, essentially, too, running the ball effectively with Saquon Barkley. They did come away, however, with a huge win over the Chicago Bears in this game. You know, they were running it effectively. They let up. You know, the Bears came back. I think in this game overall, it's a tough one. Divisional matchups, you always got to look at it from the standpoint that these teams hate each other. It's going to be physical football. Who knows what, you know, with the injury to Colt McCoy, you have Mark Sanchez as the quarterback. I think the Giants will go on the road and win this one easily.
I think for me, I'm going to take a surprise. Now, the surprise ultimately would be the Giants over the Redskins. But given the current state of the quarterback situation, and, you know, I don't know currently if there's a team that has dealt with so many quarterback injuries, maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars, but I don't know if there's a team that has dealt with so much injuries like the Washington Redskins with now Colt McCoy and Alex Smith. And I think at some point in time, I think that there are those games where that particular team, and in this case the Redskins, they're going to rise above it, and I think they're going to shock a little bit of some people. Now, the Giants is going to help their draft stock, but I would not be surprised if the Giants did pull this one up. And I'm going to take a little bit of a shocker, and I'm going to go with the Redskins.
And then we have the Saints and the Buccaneers doing battle. The Saints looking to rebound after a horrific performance on Thursday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys. Going on the road, and I think in this one, Jameis Winston and the Buccaneers have been playing pretty good football the last couple of weeks. He's been turnover-free, essentially throwing multiple touchdowns. He's having a good little spin, little segment of his season down there in Tampa Bay. It's on the road. I think this is going to be a tough one. I think it's going to be a close one. I think the Dallas Cowboys essentially showed maybe the NFL world what they can do to slow down how fast and how efficient Drew Brees and that Saints offense have been. And in this regard, I'm going to take the Buccaneers up, you know, in this one with an upset. You know, there was a shootout week one when these two teams played. I think in this one, the Buccaneers are going to squeak it out, and we're going to see a little bit of life come back down to normal for the Drew Brees and the Saints.
I think for me, I'm going to go with the Saints in this one. You certainly hope that the Buccaneers, what they showed last week, wasn't a fluke, and they are at home. And Jameis Winston, you know, you want to talk about a guy that has really fallen from grace as far as a starting quarterback goes. I think that every squirrel finds an acorn. And Jameis Winston, he probably found a really good game last week. And New Orleans, they have a pretty stout defense, And I think that they come back together and come back as a team. And I think that you see Drew Brees have a MVP-type worthy game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Our next matchup is another AFC East divisional matchup. Patriots on the road at the Miami Dolphins. And if history has told us one thing, the Patriots, they struggle when they go on the road to Miami and play. And I tell you what, you know, Adam Gase has got a little bit of rejuvenation going back with, you know, getting Ryan Tannehill back. Big win this past week for them. I think in this one overall, you got to win your divisional games. That Bills game that they were in was a scrappy game for both teams. But in this one, I think the Patriots, you know, with Rob Gronkowski back for them, they're getting things going. They're moving the ball effectively. Having Rob Gronkowski as a safety net, you know, outside of receivers like Chris Hogan and obviously Julian Edelman being back, those have been huge for them this year. However, However, I think they've really struggled without Gronk. They got him back last week. They had a lot of success. They have him back once again. I think the Patriots go on the road and win this one. And then our next matchup, we have the Ravens at the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think in this one, Cam, when we're looking at Broncos playoff positioning and seeding, we have to hope that the Ravens lose some games here. That's kind of what I got the assumption of based on reading some scenarios is really, or you have to hope the Steelers can lose out and the Ravens can win the division that way. Because at the same time, if it's the Broncos and the Ravens sitting even, let's say at the end of the season, and they have a tie in terms of record, the Ravens hold the tiebreaker over the Broncos, so essentially the Broncos would be out of the wild card if that were the case, if that scenario presented itself. I don't know how I feel about this, but I think for the Ravens going on the road, Lamar Jackson getting things going, I think Joe Flacco should be back soon. Nobody's stopping this red-hot, Kansas City Chiefs team yet. You know, we saw with the L.A. Rams, they were able to outlast them and outscore them by 3 points, but, the Chiefs went on the road last week and just had fun. They had fun on the road at the Oakland Raiders at their expense, and they're looking pretty good. And Patrick Mahomes at 41 touchdowns on the year, he's looking to try to break that record that Peyton Manning set and essentially do it in his actual rookie season. He only played one game his actual rookie year, so I technically consider this his rookie season. I got the Chiefs at home on this one.
I'm going to take a shocker, Cody, and Bronco fans are going to hate me on this one, but I'm going to take Baltimore. I think that Lamar Jackson, he's just that dynamic quarterback that the Kansas City Chiefs really haven't played at all at this point in the regular season, because you're starting to see him really be the Lamar Jackson we saw in the senior year of college with Louisville. He's getting the passing game going. He's becoming that dynamic runner in the backfield, or I should say as a runner. He's truly been that type of guy, and I think that it just changes the entire dynamic of the Ravens offense, and I think it's going to be an up-and-down fair with the Kansas City Chiefs, because we all know that the defense of Kansas City, it's not the greatest. Eric Berry returns this week, but I think ultimately, I think if there's one particular team that could shock the Kansas City Chiefs this week, or just in their schedule, it is the Baltimore Ravens.
That's bold. I just don't see it happening, though. We'll see on Sunday. That's a tough one. Next matchup, we have another divisional round between the Colts and the Texans. Colts on the road. Really a tough loss for them to the Jacksonville Jaguars this past weekend. I think overall, when we look at these two teams, the Texans are rolling right now. They're on fire at 9-3. They could go 10-3 right here. They're having a really good season. The defense is playing phenomenal. Powered behind J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney, and then, Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. Demaryius Thomas is finding a lot of success down there last week against the Titans. 2 touchdown catches against them. I think overall for this Texans team, they're rolling. They're red hot. They're at home. I have the Texans on this one, winning this one easily. And then our next matchup that we go to, it's stunning news, obviously, this past weekend. The Packers had fired head coach Mike McCarthy. The Falcons come into town, and really the Packers have a little bit of a gut check time here. They lose at home to the Arizona Cardinals. That was a very uncharacteristic win. Nobody expected that to happen. Obviously Mason Crosby missing that field goal to tie it at the end. That was rough. It was almost key essential to the Broncos. Brandon McManus missing that field goal against the Texans. It didn't work out. And Aaron Rodgers and that Packers team, they have a lot of question marks. You have Aaron Rodgers, but what do you have around him that's healthy, that can contribute, that can be, an element that'll help take away a lot of their stress? The Falcons right now, though, I think they have a lot going for them. They're still giving up a lot of plays defensively. They're definitely missing some of their key defensive players. And it's just one where they've been battling injuries on that defensive side of the ball. And they were not too far removed from competing for an NFC championship last year in the playoffs. They fell short the year before that. They were in the Super Bowl. It's just a rough dynamic, when you go through and you look at what the Falcons have been through. I'm going to take the Packers. They're going to have a little bit of new life to them. Aaron Rodgers is going to rally them, and they're going to win this game over the Falcons. And then our next matchup here in our morning slot time zone games, you have the Panthers on the road taking on the Browns. The Browns coming off of a horrific performance. Turnovers everywhere. I mean, it's almost like you couldn't catch a break. So in this one, I think the Panthers defensively and offensively have too much firepower for the Browns. to really sustain this game. I think the Panthers are going to go into Cleveland and win this one easily. And, you know, in this matchup, too, we have to keep an eye on it because the next week the Browns travel to Denver on a Saturday to play the Broncos. So going to be an interesting matchup that we're going to watch ahead of time here at Locked On Broncos. But before we get into the afternoon and the evening portion of our picks, I got to remind you guys to check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter and Instagram. Now, it's game-changing what social media has done. On Twitter, at Locked On NFL Net, you get all the Locked On hosts covering their team on one feed. So you get all the stuff. This is great for live in-game tweeting, as well as anytime there's breaking news and a lot of crazy things that happened this week. The Locked On NFL Net feed has you covered there on Twitter, at Locked On NFL Net. And on Instagram, you get the biggest stories around the National Football League to your devices on your Instagram stories in 30 seconds or less. You get the bigger stories on your Instagram feeds. Locked On NFL Net on both Twitter and Instagram. They're changing the way we view social media. All right, jumping into our afternoon portion of the Locked On Broncos picks contest, essentially. Not a contest, but our picks segment. We're going to skip the Broncos 49ers game. I always think it's bad luck to kind of predict things. I don't like doing it. I like playing the what-if game. You guys could obviously hear our predictions that we talked about with Brian Peacock over there at Locked On 49ers in our crossover show from yesterday. But we're going to skip to the Bengals and the Chargers game. This is an interesting one. Chargers right now at home. Big win that they got on the road against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football. The Bengals really struggling. You lose Andy Dalton all year. You lose AJ Green. In this matchup and in this game, I don't think they have enough firepower to go into Los Angeles and defeat the Chargers, who are a pretty darn good football team. They have a healthy defense, essentially, for the most part. They have Austin Eckler. They have another young running back that's having a lot of success. Phillip Rivers, 9 kids and very efficient with the football. You know, he's on a roll right now. I've got the Chargers in this one.
He's gonna win it for his new family member, that's for sure. He's stockpiling a little bit. He could take Steve Martin's character on Cheaper by the Dozen 3. But yeah, for Phillip Rivers and the Los Angeles Chargers, I mean, they, especially after that monster win against the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think clearly the Los Angeles Chargers are making a strong case that they are maybe the forgotten AFC contender, in at least with the Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots. I think that, you know, people forget about them. And obviously, I think people forget about Houston, too. And with way Denver sort of controlled their business with the Cincinnati Bengals and with Jeff Driskel starting and, you know, AJ Green out for the season, it's just, you know, you got to go Los Angeles.
And in our next matchup, we have the Lions on the road at the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals riding off of a huge win over the Lions divisional opponent, the Green Bay Packers. The Lions in this one, I think they're going to go into Arizona, have a little, you know, to be honest with you, I think they're going to go into Arizona. It's going to be a close game. I think it'll be one of those physical games back and forth. I think it's sealed late, you know, either by defensive turnover or a field goal, but I got the Lions going into Arizona and winning this matchup. And then in our afternoon game, this is going to be one I think we're going to keep an eye on, because what the Steelers do from here on out is going to be very, very important in terms of playoff positioning, wild card features. You know, there's some talk that, you know, ideally I think Broncos want the Ravens to win the division and essentially put Steelers at the necessary times to have a tiebreaker, and the Broncos are creeping up there. The Steelers have a tough schedule coming up. Obviously, you're on the road at the Raiders. You never know how that could be. I don't think the Raiders match up very well with them, but, you know, the next week you have to go on the road at Foxborough, and you have to take on Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. I'm going to have the Steelers in this one because I just don't think the Raiders have enough in them to really outlast or keep up with that. But it's going to be interesting to watch the storyline as James Conner is out for them. So how does that play, you know, into their dynamic? We could see Big Ben throw it for 60 times in this game. I got the Steelers.
Yeah, he could throw for 60 times and 600 yards, and I just don't see how Oakland keeps up with Pittsburgh. I mean, even if Connor's out, I just think that, you know, Pittsburgh is clearly the better football team, and if they need a good bounce back game, it's against the Oakland Raiders. I think for the, you know, for the Lions and Cardinals, I'm going to take a surprise. I'm going to go with Arizona. I think that, you know, Josh Rosen is certainly one of the better guys for that Arizona Cardinals team. And I think that he is going to surprise a lot of people against the Detroit Lions. And I think that they come out on top against the Detroit Lions.
And in our next matchup, we have the Eagles and the Cowboys in another divisional matchup. The Cowboys, they're rolling. They're red hot. They're having a lot of success behind Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and obviously Amari Cooper contributing to their offensive set as well. They've improved drastically with that. The Eagles, still, I think they're competitive, but they're just not there to break over the hump that we saw them that led to their Super Bowl win last year. They're just not the same team defensively. They give a lot of stuff up. I think in this one, Cowboys at home, as much as I hate to say it, I think the Cowboys have this one in the bag. You know, I think they're going to come out on top at home in Dallas.
The sneaky, you know, addition, and it's sort of an under the radar story, at least with Bronco fans. The Dallas Cowboys made a surprising decision and decided to draft Leighton Vander Esch over Cortland Sutton, and it's paid massive dividends. You're starting to see Jalen Smith fully healthy and being a bit that possible first round draft pick when he was coming out of college out of Notre Dame. That linebacking core between Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch might be the most youthful and the most dynamic linebacking core in the entire NFL. And I think that you're also starting to see that defensive line with Malik Collins and others really stand up to the task. And obviously, you know, it also shows with Dak Prescott what happens when you have a solid running game and a pretty good wide receiver with Amari Cooper. Thank you, John Gruden. So I think that Dallas, they are clearly a much better football team now than they were quite a weeks back. So I would not be surprised if the Eagles pulled off an upset here, but you know, clearly Cowboys are rolling. I will say this though, the Eagles can surprise some people and pull off a victory over the Cowboys just because the Cowboys have a tendency to lose a game that they really should win. So, but I'm going to go with Cowboys in this one.
And our Sunday night football game, an interesting matchup between the Rams and the Bears. Bears coming off of a tough loss to the New York Giants. The Rams squeaking out a very close win over the Detroit Lions. Aaron Donald absolutely taking over the game late in the game as well. If he wins MVP of the National Football League, you could give Von Miller Defensive Player of the Year, you know. But if somebody else wins MVP, you're going to see Aaron Donald walk away with the Defensive Player of the Year award, just how he's playing on the interior. It's been crazy to watch him wreak havoc. And in this game, you know, I think there's optimism that the Bears will get back Mitchell Trubisky this week. That adds a whole nother dynamic to it. I think it's going to be a relatively close game. I think it's going to be competitive. I think this one, you know, the Rams, they get Aqib Talib back. You know, covering Anthony Miller is going to be a huge thing for this defense. I think you're going to see a lot of Aqib Talib on Anthony Miller, their star wide receiver down there in Chicago. It's going to be a close one. I think the Rams are going to win this one 30-27 on a late field goal. And then for the sake of time, we got our Monday night football game, the Vikings at the Seahawks. And I tell you what, Vikings came off of a tough loss on Sunday to the New England Patriots. They didn't play the way that we've normally seen them play. They've given up a lot of things. Adam Thielen very fired up, obviously getting into a yelling match with Bill Belichick. But the Seahawks, too, don't blink. Don't close your eyes. The Seahawks absolutely destroyed the San Francisco 49ers. The Seahawks are a much better football team than they were at the beginning of the year. And even at the beginning of the year, I think they were still a pretty darn good football team, given all the youth on that defensive side of the ball that they have. They play really well against the Rams. They played really tough competition. I think the Seahawks team is very, very good. They're not as advertised. They're not, you know, heavily hyped up, but quietly they've been putting together a phenomenal underrated season despite some of the early struggles they had early on. I've got the Seahawks winning this one at home on Monday Night Football. And that'll conclude it here for our NFL picks on the Locked On Broncos podcast. Like I said, we had a really cool episode on Tuesday with Locked On Broncos. Will Parks debuted the Keeping It Will segment over here. A huge episode, a huge hit. Go on, share that. Go listen to it once again. Absolutely loved it. You know, it was a great, great thing. We're going to have Will here every Tuesday. And then also go check out yesterday's episode with Brian Peacock, host of Locked On 49ers. We give an in-depth breakdown of this Broncos 49ers game this Sunday as the Broncos and the Niners kick off on the road at 2:05 p.m. Mountain Time kickoff at San Francisco. There's going to be a lot of orange in that stadium. Last time the Broncos were in the stadium, Super Bowl 50. So a lot of optimism in this game. Broncos focus one game at a time. And I tell you what, it's going to be fun. We're going to have you covered with that Locked On Broncos post-game report. Tomorrow's episode of Locked On Broncos, we're going to have Sarah Bettinger, editor excited over at Predominantly Orange. We finally got all of our mic issues fixed out from the last time. Very excited. We're going to have him on talking Broncos, where they're at, a whole bunch of cool stuff on Friday's episode of Locked On Broncos. We'll see you then.